I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah. Them other boys don't know how to act. Yeah. I think it's special what's behind your back. Yeah. So turn around and I'll pick up the slack.
Hello, everybody. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to another edition of Buckshots, where today we will be looking at the 2006 Gamecock football season. We've been in the midst of a series where we've looked at every football season since 1987, and the 2006 season was the second with Steve Spurrier at the helm. He had just finished his first year in 05 with a 7-5 record. Accomplished some really good things with a win at Knoxville over Tennessee and a win at home against Florida. Season ended kind of on a down note with a loss to Clemson at home, and then we blew a big lead against Missouri in the Independence Bowl, but still a lot of things to look forward to in 2006. I think we were just still really thrilled to have Steve Spurrier as our head coach. Had some pretty good players coming back, Corey Boyd, Savelle Newton, Blake Mitchell back at quarterback. And we would open our season on a Thursday night on ESPN, which would become somewhat of a recurring theme over the years. Tough, tough road battle against an SEC team. Mississippi State wasn't great at this point in time, but they still always had a really tough defense, and you knew you were going to be in for a battle. And sure enough, this one was a battle. There was a lot of talk in the preseason. I think Spurrier was really expecting the offense to be a lot better in 2006 than it was in 2005, so we were hoping to put some points on the board early and often against Mississippi State. And unfortunately, that did not happen. We only had, by the end of the third quarter, a couple of Ryan Suckup field goals. Those were the highlights of the game to that point, in addition to a Ryan Suckup improvised fake punt, which I think most of you probably remember if you watched that game. So it's 6-0. Mississippi's got the ball. Mississippi State, has got the ball near midfield. And I think they turned the ball over on downs. I think we stopped them on a fourth down. I don't believe that was a turnover. So in typical Steve Spurrier fashion, he goes straight for the jugular, had Blake Mitchell throw a backwards pass to Savelle Newton, who then in turn hit Corey Boyd on a 54-yard touchdown pass down the right sideline, and Chris Fowler called him Derek Pegues, which kind of ruins the highlight when you watch it. Derek Pegues was number 3 for Mississippi State, but it was obviously Corey Boyd who scored the touchdown for South Carolina. Then on top of that, Corey Boyd, who had been suspended the previous year, they show him on the sidelines, and he looked at the camera and infamously said, "I'm back like cooked crack," which didn't go over very well with the Gamecock Nation. He apologized, but no real damage was done. It was just kind of an embarrassing thing to have one of your players say. We did kick one more field goal to go up 15-0 late in the game. Mississippi State could just never get anything going against our defense, so we win our first game. We're 1-0 with Georgia coming to town, and the Georgia game was just bad. We could never really get anything going offensively against those guys. We had a couple of opportunities to score, and even one time I believe we got down around their 2-yard line and just couldn't punch it in. Not particularly a close game. Georgia wins that one 18-0. So we're 1-1, and we've got another home game the following week against Wofford. And this kind of begins our run of very uncomfortable games against Wofford. We don't play Wofford every year, but it seems like when we do play them, we have a tough time. Had a 24-10 lead at the half, 27-10 heading into the fourth quarter, and Wofford put up 10 points to cut the lead to 27-20, and then they were driving, and they had a 4th-and-5 pretty deep in our territory, and this was feeling a lot like the Citadel game that we talked about back in 92 or 93, I believe, because we were just having such a horrible time stopping those guys. So they had a 4th-and-5, and of all people, Dakota Watson knocked a ball up in the air, and it was picked off by another one of our players, Cody Wells. This is another great thing about going through this, going through every year. You start you know, you see names like Dakota Walker and Cody Wells, who you might not ever hear those names mentioned again, but those two guys combined to help stop the Terriers, and we escaped 27-20. And at that point, I'm thinking, I think most of the Gamecock fans are thinking, tough. You know, this could be a tough season the way it had started out. We only just hadn't been able to put anything really together on offense until the following week against Florida Atlantic. We scored 45 points. We beat them 45-6, which set up a game against Auburn on a Thursday night, second Thursday night game of the year for us, and we would have played five games before the end of September. Auburn came in ranked number 2 in the country. And a couple of things about that. I had mentioned earlier in one of these that I had a really good friend who's an Auburn fan, and he's an Auburn fan that kind of has always, since I've known him for 10 or 12 years, kind of looked down his nose because he's Auburn and we're South Carolina. So we were together watching this game, and he's thinking it's not going to be a contest. And it didn't look like it was going to be a contest early on, as Auburn drove down on their first possession pretty easily and scored to go up 7-0. And I was afraid we were in for a really long night at that point when they were only up 7-0. We kicked a field goal to cut it to 7-3. They scored another touchdown to go up 14-3, but then right before halftime, we scored a touchdown to cut it to 14-10, and my Auburn buddy was a little nervous at this point. He was like, hey, you know, we're number 2 in the country. This game really shouldn't be that close. Then just a really odd third quarter where Auburn literally had the ball on offense the entire quarter. They had a long drive that wound up with a 24-yard field goal. They kicked a 24-yard field goal with about 6 minutes and 20 or so seconds to go in the third quarter. Ate up most of the third quarter with that one drive to go up 17-10. Then kicked an onside kick and recovered it and held the ball again until the fourth quarter. So we never had the ball on offense in the third quarter. Auburn scores another touchdown early in the fourth quarter to go up 24-10. With about 8.5 minutes left, Savelle Newton hit Jared Cook on just a beautiful play down the seam, and we cut the lead to 24-17, and the crowd just going nuts. Had a couple of opportunities later. One, Jared Cook just flat out dropped a touchdown pass that would have tied the game, and we never could punch it in from there. Auburn wins the game 24-17. We were haunted by former Gamecock Kenny Irons, who rushed for 117 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And one thing that happened at the end of that game, the players went over to the fans, and the fans were cheering, and everybody was really happy and excited that we had given the number 2 team in the country a run for their money like that. And I think that really pissed Steve Spurrier off. He's mentioned it in the post game. You know, we lost. I don't want our fans to be cheering when we lose, which I thought was the perfect thing for him to say at that point. No moral victories for a Steve Spurrier coach team. But it still was a great effort and made us feel a little bit better about where this team was at the time. The following week, we go to Kentucky. Another interesting game. We wound up winning 24-17, and maybe the greatest trick play in the Spurrier era at South Carolina so far. Late in the game, we were leading 17-10. This was in the fourth quarter, and we had the ball pretty deep in Kentucky territory. I'll try to link this YouTube video as well. And we had a 4th-and-2 or 3, and I remember the announcers are talking about how South Carolina needs to play it conservative and run the ball. So we ran a toss sweep to Corey Boyd, who kind of bows out, and Kenny McKinley comes behind him and takes a pitch from Boyd and hits Savelle Newton, who was playing quarterback, for a touchdown. And we were up 24-10, and we're feeling really good. Kind of think the game's over at that point. That's the final nail in the coffin. Kentucky came right back and scored a touchdown to make it 24-17, and we had some very uncomfortable moments at the end of that game that we thought we had wrapped up. We win that one 24-17, and in the post game, they had asked Spurrier about the defense that we were playing late, the prevent that led to Kentucky hitting a couple of long passes against us. And Spurrier said, you know, you're going to have to ask one of our defensive coaches about that. And he called up defensive backs coach Ron Cooper. He said he called Cooper up to the podium, and Cooper stood there and very uncomfortably answered questions while mopping his brow. It was a tough situation. Spurrier just totally tossed him under the bus. But, you know, he wants his coaches to be responsible, you know, just like his players. So following week, we go to Vanderbilt, win one pretty easily, 31-30. The following week after that, October 28th, we take on Tennessee. We lose that game 31-24. That was one of those games where we were and I was at that game. We never really felt like we were going to win it, or at least I didn't. And it was a pretty close game all the way, but Tennessee just felt like the better team the whole game. It was a night game, ESPN, ESPN2. Mike West caught a touchdown pass in that game, if you remember Mike West. That's another name that probably doesn't come up a whole lot in Gamecock conversation. So we lose that one 31-24. That puts us at 5-3. Arkansas comes to town the following week. We get on TV again. Arkansas was just blasting us. They were blowing us out. I think they were up something like 26-6. Darren McFadden, not for the last time in his Arkansas career, would have a huge game. 25 carries, 219 yards, a couple of touchdowns. It seems like every time he touched the ball, he was picking up 10 or 12 yards. Just was a great, great college running back. Wide receiver named Marcus Monk for Arkansas had 8 catches for 192 yards and one 50-yard touchdown at the end of the first half. Last play of the first half, if I'm not mistaken. Ball was batted around by a couple of Carolina defenders and wound up in the hands of Monk for a touchdown. So that put them up 23-6 at the half. They added a field goal before South Carolina rallied with a couple of late touchdowns. Actually, one touchdown in the third and one in the fourth. And Sidney Rice caught a 10-yard pass, one of his highlight reel catches where he got a foot down in the back of the end zone. And, you know, one of the things I remember about that play is Michael Grant, a defensive back for Arkansas, wrecked his knee on that play as well, and everybody focused on Sidney Rice's catch, but in the, you know, at the bottom of the screen you can see Grant's knee just buckle, and it's kind of one of those gruesome things, not nearly in the Lattimore category, but for some reason I remember that poor guy. Felt bad for him. So anyway, we fall to Arkansas 26-20. And then the next week, we head down to Florida. So Florida, at the time, was ranked number 6 in the country, had an outside shot at a national title. Really, a lot of things had to happen right for them to get into the national championship conversation. They were 9-1 at the time, 7-1 in the SEC. We were 5-5, 3-5 in the SEC. And probably went down to Gainesville and played our best game in the Spurrier era to that point. Really played Florida tough. Played them to a 7-7 score at halftime. And then actually took the lead 16-10 about midway through the fourth quarter. I think there were probably about 8.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Take a 16-10 lead. Me and T-Bone and the G-Man were down at Fripp watching this game on TV, and as soon as we scored, my sister called me on my cell phone and said, oh my God, we're going to win this game. And she was so excited, and as she was talking to me, Jarvis Moss of Florida jumped up and blocked the extra point. And I told her right there, I said, that's it, we're going to lose. Missed extra point. You just, in a game like this, you cannot give up any points. So Florida drives down behind Chris Leak, who was the starting quarterback, And he gets them down the field, and with 3 minutes left, Tim Tebow, who was a freshman at the time, and they brought him in goal line situation, short yardage situations, plows in from 12 yards out, puts the Gators up 17-16, which set up one of the more disappointing moments in South Carolina history. We fought right back. Blake Mitchell, Sidney Rice, Kenny McKinley. We get back down the field and get in field goal position. We actually had a penalty wipeout. I know at least one long gain that could have made the field goal attempt much shorter. I think the final yardage was right around 47 yards to win the game. And once again, that man Jarvis Moss jumps up and blocks Ryan Succop's kick, and Florida survives 17-16. If you remember, there's probably still conversation to this day about Jarvis Moss and rumors that he failed drug tests and never should have been in that game in the first place. But that one's in the history books, folks. Not much we can do about it now, especially several years later. So, yeah, really sort of encouraging but disappointing loss to Florida. You know, no moral victories. That's what I hear from everybody, no moral victories. But, that was kind of a moral victory. You got to admit. Come on. Give it up for a moral victory. Bounced back the following week against Middle Tennessee. Just blew them out, 52-7, highlighted by a spectacular run by Corey Boyd on a screen pass in that game. Great YouTube highlight that I'll try to post on there. So that puts us at 6-5, 3-5 in the conference. And as Connor and I talked last on the last one, talking about the 2005 season, how we seem to always go into the Clemson game in the 6-5, 5-6 kind of a range. And sure enough, here we were at 6-5. Probably had a bowl bid locked up, but a win over Clemson would be a great way to finish the season and really secure our bowl spot. So we fell behind early, 7-0. And to be honest with you, the first couple of possessions that Clemson had, it looked like Clemson was just going to completely blow us out of the water. They looked unstoppable. Jacoby Ford got Clemson on the board first with a 76-yard touchdown pass from Will Proctor. Gamecocks drove back down the field and scored on a 1-yard Blake Mitchell run. And then Clemson turned right back around less than a minute later, and C.J. Spiller had an 80-yard touchdown run to put Clemson up 14-7. We answered again, make it 14 apiece, and things went back and forth in the second quarter until South Carolina drove all the way down inside the Clemson 15-yard line. I believe we were down right around the 10. And we were thinking, you know, there was less than 30 seconds left, and at worst, we were going to come out of there with a 17-14 lead. Succop would hit a short field goal, but we were looking to score a touchdown. Blake Mitchell drops back to pass. Pass is batted up in the air and intercepted by Clemson nose guard Jock McKissick, who returned at 82 yards for a touchdown. I'm still just don't understand how nobody caught that guy. I don't know if we were so shocked or just so far out of position. So that puts Clemson up 21-14 at the half, and that's one of those things that's just like, wow, it just couldn't go any more wrong. We're in big trouble now. Clemson comes out, scores another touchdown, another C.J. Spiller run, 31 yards. Spiller had 10 carries for 155 yards in this game. Puts Clemson up 28-14 in the third quarter. And then South Carolina, the Gamecocks asserted themselves, had a couple of drives, a couple of Mike Davis touchdown runs to tie the score at 28 heading into the fourth quarter. And then we had a drive that got us into field goal range with about 8 minutes left. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a play. It's the first play that I can recall replay having a big-time effect on a South Carolina game. And I don't know if this was the first year of replay, but it's the first play that I can remember. An overturned call helping us out or having any kind of impact on the game at all. As a matter of fact, it was a backwards pass, I believe, that intended for Sidney Rice that a Clemson guy fell on. And it seemed like just an eternity as they reviewed that play. It was obvious it was a backwards pass, and I kept thinking, we're going to get screwed on this. We're going to get screwed. Sure enough, we didn't get screwed. They called it a backwards pass. We kept the ball, and Ryan Succop hit a 35-yard field goal to put South Carolina up 31-28. Clemson drives back down late in the game, and we've all seen the video. South Carolina gets a couple of nice stops down near the goal line, and Jad Dean lines up for a 40-ish yard field goal. I think it was somewhere between 35 and 40 yards. And he missed it wide left, and South Carolina held on for a 31-28 win. We had been 0-5 against ranked teams going into that game. It was our first victory over a ranked team that season. So a really, really nice win to end the season, end the regular season, with a 7-5 record. Big celebration after that one, Spurrier's first win over Clemson as the Gamecocks head coach. After that game, we accepted a bid to the Liberty Bowl in Memphis against a high-powered Houston Cougar football team, a really, really scary team coached by Art Briles, who is now the head coach at Baylor, seen as kind of an offensive innovator. Had a team that threw the ball all over the place and really has Baylor in pretty good shape these days. Coached RG3 when he won the Heisman. So a really powerful Houston team, and they showed off in the first half, no question about it. Put up 28 points, over 300 yards of offense in the first half, held a 28-27 lead over the Gamecocks. We kicked a field goal in the third quarter to take the lead 30-28. And, you know, a lot of tense moments in this game, but we had two touchdowns to Kenny McKinley, two 43-yard touchdowns to pretty much put the game away. And a very memorable moment is Kenny McKinley on his second touchdown scores. And I think he believed the game was over. Everybody else kind of believed that one had salted it away for the Gamecocks, so he just hauls off and throws the ball as far as he can into the stands, which was a funny, beautiful moment, just showed his enthusiasm. And I remember after the game, Spurrier was talking about who he gave game balls to, and somebody asked if McKinley got one, and Spurrier says, well, no, I was going to give him one, but he threw his into the stands. So Kenny McKinley did not officially get a game ball, but in everyone else's mind, he was one of the stars of the game. We did have to make a stop there late to keep Houston from tying it up. They had the ball a couple of times after that, and we wound up winning 44-36. Blake Mitchell was the MVP. MVP. Blake Mitchell was the MVP of the game. His stats were 19 out of 29 for 323 yards and four touchdowns. Corey Boyd had 94 yards rushing. Sidney Rice, 139 yards receiving. McKinley, 112 yards receiving. So a big offensive performance for the Gamecocks, in addition to a big offensive performance for the Cougars. Looking up total yardage now, 527 for Houston, 512 for South Carolina. I think they said that was the first time more than 1,000 yards total had ever been gained in the Liberty Bowl. So a nice win over a very dangerous Houston team to cap off an 8-5 season for South Carolina. Nice to get back in the win column as far as bowl victories go. So unlike the previous year where we'd finished the season with two straight losses, we finished this one with two straight wins. Always good to go into the offseason feeling good like that. And had a lot to look forward to in 2007. Thank you for joining us for this recap of 2006, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah. The motherfuckers don't know how to act. you lack. Yeah. Cause you're burning up, I gotta get it fast.
Yeah. Take it to the bridge.
Dirty babe. You see these shackles, baby, I'm the slave. I'll let you whip me if I misbehave. It's just that no one makes me feel this way.
Take it to the chorus.
Come here, girl.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Come to the back.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
VIP.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Drinks on me.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
What you're working with.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Look at those hips.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
You make me smile.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Go ahead, child.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Sexy back,
yeah.
Your mother, watch your eye attack.
Yeah.
If that's your girl, better watch your back.
Yeah.
Cause she'll burn it up for me, and that's a fact.
Yeah. Take her to the chorus.
Come here, girl.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Come to the back.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
VIP.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Drinks on me.
Go ahead, be
Lucy,
gone with it.
What you working with?
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Look at those hips.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
You make me smile.
Go
Go ahead, child.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Get your sexy up.